Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
And welcome to the show, and I'm thrilled to have with me today the wonderful Paul Davis. Hello to you, Paul.
How are you, Rob? How are you?
We're fantastic. You're all the way from Ireland today. Paul, for the benefit of people that may not have come across you, tell us a bit about your background.
Well, I originally trained as a management accountant myself. Throughout my career, I worked in mainly going into companies, turning them around from a financial perspective and helping them to grow and scale their business. And then in 2001, I set up my own practice to literally do the same, but for small and medium-sized businesses. And that developed into working primarily with people in professional services and primarily accountants.
So why accountants?
Because I'm an accountant myself. You know, I suppose because I know what it's like to be an accountant, I know what the work, and so therefore I can talk easier their language. I have worked with other professionals, but accountants tend to be the ones that I can make the biggest impact for from a fees perspective, from an earnings perspective, a growth perspective, and from a time management perspective.
What is it like being an accountant?
It has its good and its bad. Let me put it this way. When I was working in my own career, I had a team of people preparing accounts and doing all the tax work for me, and therefore I was interpreting the actual reports itself and submitting them to the board of directors. When I set up my own business, I was doing a lot of the accounting work, and believe it or not, I actually found out that I didn't enjoy doing accounts, and that's where I got more involved in the strategic direction for the businesses that I was working with on the business development side of things.
So you didn't like the compliance, but you liked the advisory, basically?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. That's where I felt I could make the most benefit for the companies I was working with.
Do you feel accountants generally can add more benefit to clients through the advisory, or are you still a big fan of compliance as an income stream?
No. Compliance, as far as I'm concerned, it's becoming a smaller and smaller proportion of accountancy firms. If I had one message for accountants, is to listen, because they haven't been really listening over the years. And as I said to you, I set up my own business in 2001. I've been saying for many, many years that accountants need to be going into more the advisory side of things and away from the compliance. Compliance is a commodity. That's it. Clients see no value in the compliance side of things. I even had a client that I was meeting there yesterday, not an accountant, he's a manufacturing company, and he was referring to his audit fee that he gets from one of the top 10 accountancy firms in Ireland, and the audit fee is 30,000, and he says, I get no value for that whatsoever. And I've been asking my accountants for advice, direction, strategy, all the kinds of things, and they can't provide it, mm-hmm. or they're not willing to provide it, one or the other. So he's contemplating moving his accountant now. He hasn't even told. And that's the thing. The clients don't tell their accountants that they're about to move or that they're unhappy until it's too late. And if I was to give a message to all the accountancy firms, is they've got to start listening and making change and reacting, but not only just to their clients, but they've got to listen to their staff as well, and they've got to listen to themselves. But so that they have to move down more the advisory side of things, because ultimately that's what clients are looking for.
Mm. It's interesting you say accountants don't listen. They position themselves, particularly as the bank manager's power has waned, as that trusted advisor. So you would think they would be the listening ear, the critical friend, the peer of the buyer, if you like. But are you saying they're not fulfilling that role?
No, not in the vast majority of the ones that I'm. And it's funny, because I was writing an article for one of the accountancy bodies there last week. It was all about values. And I had a look at one of the websites, and the website says integrity, honesty, professionalism, reliability, the usual buzzwords that pretty much you'll find on a good 70-80% of websites in all businesses. If you were to really ask an accountant honestly, has he ever lied, or, you know, to anybody else, whether it be to a client or a colleague, has he ever massaged the figures in some shape or form? Has he ever not disclosed something in a financial report or in a tax return? And the question that you invariably get when they answer honestly is, yeah, they have. They have either bent the rules, or they've slightly lied, or whatever. And yet, what they're putting forward on their website is honesty, integrity, and reliability. So they say one thing and do another thing.
Okay, well, these are stern words. Where does this lack of listening come from? Is it an arrogance? Is it an ignorance? What do you think?
I used to refer to lawyers and solicitors as being part of the way the old legal system operated, and they have happened still changed. Accountants are pretty much going down the same route, whereby the vast majority aren't changing. They structure the business in exactly the same way as what they've been taught and trained, and they deal with their staff in pretty much exactly the same way as what they've been taught and trained. There's a small, very, very small percentage that are open to change, but the vast majority aren't changing. So I think it's just they circulate themselves with other accountants. They've been trained by other accountants. They go through the same processes as everybody else, and they set up their firm in exactly the same way. Even their structures, how they manage their staff, how they coordinate everything and so on, is pretty much the same no matter what accountancy firm that you go into. Who's to say that's right?
And is this the same, Paul, in your view, with the bigger firms, maybe top 100, as it is with the sole practitioners and the lower firms?
Totally, absolutely. So partners that I would be speaking to in the larger firms, when you really get inside them and work with them, they're operating like silos. They're not working as one cohesive team right across all the partners and looking at what are the opportunities. They're working as individual partners, like individual businesses in the larger firms, as opposed to one cohesive business with a common vision.
So what is going to happen if they continue like this? Paint a picture for us for the next 5-10 years.
I think two things. One is there is a move in relation to the compliance and the advisory side of things. We're seeing that in the larger firms, not the smaller firms. So there will be a split in how firms are structured. That's one thing. When I get to the small and medium-sized firms, they will have a move away from two things I'm seeing right now at the moment. They're having a move away from clients and they're having a move away from staff. Staff will not operate the exact same way as what maybe perhaps our generation operated, and they want something completely different.
How do you mean?
They want a little bit more autonomy. They want a little bit more say. And when I say about listen to your staff and listen to yourself and listen to your clients, I mean listen to your staff. Partners of firms, no matter what size, they need to be listening to people. And right now at the moment, they're not really listening. I'm not seeing that they're listening. They give lip service, but they're not really, there's listening and then there's taking action, and they're not doing both.
So what's on the horizon for them then if they continue not to listen?
I'm seeing that their staff are leaving and they're either going into industry. They're not necessarily, there used to be the old adage whereby they would move into the larger firms because the staff saw more opportunities in the larger firms. That's not happening. They're actually moving into industry. From the compliance side of things, it makes a huge difference for managers and for partners of firms, because if you can see that there's a downward pressure on fees, which there is on the compliance side of things, it's managers and partners that are now doing the work as opposed to trainees and juniors, because the trainees and juniors are moving on.
Okay, so there's an implication for staff. There's presumably an implication for clients and revenue as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Clients are moving. They'll go to the lowest common denominator by way from a fee perspective, because again, they perceive that there's no value in the compliance. That's the reason why they're moving. So they'll go to an accountant whereby they'll get the compliance work, but then they'll go somewhere else to get the advisory piece.
That's interesting. Are you seeing the demise of the caring accountant?
No, I wouldn't. The younger accountants that are coming up through the ranks are a little bit more empathic for the clients and want to put their arm around their clients and help them. So as the older generation move and retire, there's more people wanting to do something, but it's not happening quick enough in a lot of companies, a lot of firms.
Is it the case that accountants don't listen particularly well because they don't know what questions to ask?
Absolutely one aspect of it. Yeah, they don't know what to do. They're afraid to ask the questions in case they don't have the answers to.
Well, there's that, and accountants have traditionally been the expert. They've got all the data, they've got all the information, they've got all the training, so they're perhaps not in the mold of asking questions and probing like that, because they should have all the answers.
They should, but a lot of business owners want, let me put it this way, they want a sounding board.
Right.
They don't necessarily want answers. They want guidance and to try and tease it out. That's one aspect. But ultimately, they want a sounding board. Now, if you take an accountant that they're talking to a lot of different business owners in all different industries, you can pretty much get a snapshot as regards what's going well, what's not going well, what could be improved, and all that kind of things. What has happened in the accountancy firms in the last 20 years that I've observed is that they're provided perhaps by other service providers with worksheets, templates, questionnaires, all this kind of thing in order to produce maybe charts or good looking dashboards and all that kind of sort of things. The gas thing is, when you ask a business owner, that's not what they're looking for. It's easy for the accountants to produce because that's what they're used to. They're used to data and turn it into charts and turn it into reports. But that's primarily what business owners are looking for. They're looking for that strategic advice. Yeah. And if the accountants actually listened to their clients and what's going on for their businesses, they're absolutely in the prime position to advise their clients, but they're just not doing it.
What kind of shape do you feel the accounting profession is in general? generally at the moment?
Some accountants are doing really, really well from a profitability point of view. Sorry, but I'm only saying the accounts that I'm working with. So they're doing very, very well from a turnover perspective, from a profitability perspective. But the other ones, they're just down doing the work, doing the work, doing the work, and not taking their head up above the parapet and saying, actually, do you know what? Where do we need to be going with this practice? They're the ones that are suffering big time, and they will, as we roll forward in the next number of years, they will suffer even more. And either they'd be having to look to merge with somebody else, or they will shut down their practice.
Presumably, though, if they are neglecting the growth and sustainability of their practice, if they do sell on, there's a lower multiple, isn't there? It's not worth as much.
There's no value in it whatsoever. Yeah. Mm.
What, in your view, separates the good accounting firms from the great ones, Paul?
Good question. The ones that look at business as a business. So looking at their own accountancy firm as a business and not just a compliance factory. And also looking at their clients as being individuals, people, and their businesses. So it's looking at it from a commercial perspective. Commercially minded accountants are few and far between.
Yeah.
But can they be trained? Absolutely. Can they be taught which way to work with their clients and so on? Absolutely. That's without a shadow, but they're just not open to it.
Mm. Have you seen the role of an accountant change then over the years? If you look back in the day when you qualified and the things you studied on the exams there, we don't really do double entry bookkeeping anymore, do we? We need the principles. But what makes a good accountant great these days?
Giving advice, strategic advice. At the end of the day, clients want, they want to know that they can go to an accountant, ask them a question in relation to, okay, so what do I need to do with my business? It doesn't matter what size the business is. So whether it's startups, whether it's people that are in the early growth stage of their business, or they're a mature client. At each stage, they want advice as regards to what they can do. And accountants typically come out with the old statements of whether it's to do with compliance, whether it's to do with their expenses, their overheads, whether to do with, you know, from a tax perspective and so on. That's the questions that they're most easiest and comfortable in delivering to their clients. Mm. But they're absolutely missing a huge area of advice for clients, and they're just not seeing it. And the good accountants that really embrace that are the ones that are making a significant amount of money.
Mm. Is there any really bad advice or doctrine you've seen put out there in the accounting world?
I've seen the same stuff being repeated for years upon years upon years.
So old advice then.
Yeah, it's just old advice. It's just not relevant. Mm. I wrote an article about don't start with why, because every conference, everything that I was listening to and from other business coaches and business consultants, they all came out with the adage of, you know, start with your why, start with your why, start with your why. And I was absolutely getting sick and tired of listening to it. And the reason being is because clients and customers don't buy from your why. They buy results. They buy transformation. They buy what is that they're going to get, and they don't buy or why. That was one aspect that I've observed over the years, and hence the reason why I wrote the article to counter every single one of the messages in it. I think values are completely misunderstood within companies, within individuals. It's a mis-message and a complete misunderstanding, and firms, but this goes right across the board for all companies, firms are missing a massive, massive trick when it comes to values and understanding values.
I read your piece on, it was really a pop at the Simon Sinek video, Start With Why, the TED Talk that's been seen by millions, and I agreed with you to a large extent. So if they're missing a trick on values, Paul, what can accountants do with values to make them count?
What you'll observe in the younger generation, and I'm not earmarking millennials because people slate the millennials, but actually when they really kind of listen to them and get inside their head from the perspective of what millennials want, their business owners and owners of firms are missing a huge trick from millennials. They can teach us a massive amount of our missing that. When it comes to values, people perceive it as being, okay, so yes, there's the old question, what's important to you? And that's where you'll see values whereby it's honesty, reliability, professionalism. That's a given. That's naturally expected from your profession.
Yeah.
Where I'm talking about values, going back to the original study of axiology, which is the study of values, which goes back to the Greek philosophers. And that's around looking for the evidence of what are the values. And every single individual has a unique set of values. So how does that plan out to a business? When you find out the unique set of values to every single individual in your business and how the business can serve and how the role of what that individual is playing with in the business, how that serves their top three highest values. Now you've got a fully engaged individual within the business itself for the mission and the vision of that particular business. And that's what people are missing.
But surely the values of an individual are not necessarily the values of a firm.
You link the values of the individual to the mission of the firm. So I changed the language completely because of the misunderstanding of values. I use the term internal priorities. So every single individual has a unique set of internal priorities. A business can't have a set of values. It's an inanimate object. It's not a human being. Mm. So it can't have a set of values. So therefore, I prefer to use the word or the phrase or the words of philosophy. So what's the philosophy or what's the approach of the business when it's dealing with its clients? What's the philosophy when it comes to actually engaging with a client? It embraces the essence of values. But in order to have an individual work in line with the values of the organization, what you do is you link the values of the individual to the mission of the business.
So have you got an example of a accounting client of yours that's figured this out?
Yeah. And primarily what you're doing is every single individual within the firm, they absolutely know what their internal priorities are. I linked them to the individuals that they work with, as in their colleagues. So now the relationship that's created amongst the individuals takes on a completely higher level. And then I linked them to the actual mission of the business itself. Let me explain why this is so important. Every single human being will only do something when they perceive to be more advantageous than disadvantageous to themselves.
Right.
Okay. So if you can create a situation where an individual perceives that there's more advantages to them in doing their role and fulfilling the mission of the business, they're going to do it. And how you do it is you link their internal priorities, meaning their values, to the mission of the business.
What do you feel are the biggest challenges that accounting firms are facing these days, Paul, particularly if they want to grow?
This isn't right across the board, but a good chunk of firms are seeing a huge downward pressure on fees because of what I explained earlier on. And they're seeing a huge increase in salaries. And I said this probably about a year and a half ago. At some point, the two lines are going to cross, meaning costs are increasing because staff wages are increasing. There's a downward level on fees. So those two lines are going to cross. That's simple economics. And we're getting close to that. So accountants need to do something different. You know, look at Rob, you've been saying this, I've been saying this, every advisor to accountants has been saying this, just accountants aren't listening.
There's another line on the graph as well, which is the cost of acquisition of a new client. It's becoming harder and harder, more and more expensive to do business development and onboard new revenue.
Yeah, and accountants I see are getting involved in a lot of different activities, you know, whether it be social media or that kind of side of things. And actually, this is not just purely trusted accountants. I see it in a lot of business owners, other, you know, coaches, consultants, and all that kind of side of things in other professions. They do the same thing is what everybody else does. They follow the crowd. You got to be a leader. So they follow the crowd from a perspective of, oh, I should be doing that because that's what everybody else is doing. But they actually fundamentally don't understand their clients, why they should be doing it in the first place, and how they should be doing it.
Well, accountancy is steeped in heritage and tradition, isn't it? So yeah, it's not a hotbed of innovation, but there are some firms that are leading the way, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And they're what we keep talking about, which is look after your clients, put your arm around them, give them the advice that they're looking for, deliver what your clients want, and you'll be a successful business. Mm. That's simple business economics.
So what kind of things do you do for your clients, Paul?
Pretty much everything what I spoke about. How do they go about acquiring or attaining or attracting new clients? How do they move from a situation whereby compliance is one element, but it's how do they become the advisor and therefore how they can drive much, much higher profitable fees and better clients to work with?
Mm. And how do you traditionally do that? Is that consulting or coaching or programs?
It depends on what the clients are. So it'll either be one-to-one with the partners within the firm. It's going into the actual firm itself and working with the staff and the partners and the managers that are responsible for business development. Time management is always the one I always kind of hit on first, because the more time I free up for the individuals, the more time they can actually spend on business development.
Mm. How good do you feel accountants are as a species with productivity and time management?
They're pretty good. I'd say they're pretty good.
I mean, they're used to the billable hour, aren't they? So they get that concept. But in terms of being particularly efficient, how good are they?
If I was to go on a scale maybe 1 to 10, I'd probably give them maybe a 6 or 7.
Right.
They're slow to embrace. This isn't, I don't want to become across as being slating accountants. It's just my observations. But I can say this right across the board for other professions. Accountants typically will be slow to embrace new technology. They're used to, if they get used to a particular piece of technology, whether it be from a CRM perspective or an accounts preparation perspective, they'll hold on to that and they'll tend not to change. So therefore, but in the last, say, 3 years, there's been a huge input of new applications, new softwares, new ways of doing things that makes things easier and faster.
Mm. Is there anything you've changed your mind on in the last few years?
Ooh, I think more from a direction perspective. If you were to ask me over as I said, I set up in 2001, the early part would have been exposed to mechanics of the business. So how do you get more clients? How do you increase their fees? How do you manage time more effectively? That's the mechanics of the business.
Yeah.
But a lot of it in the last, say, 5 years, I've gotten more and more into the human behavior. And the reason being is because you can put all the systems, processes and everything in place, but if you don't change fundamentally human behavior, you're only going to achieve a certain level of growth and scalability within the business.
Yeah. You sound very passionate in your role and as a force for good. What frustrates you most about your job, Paul?
When I see the huge potential that individuals have within their businesses or their firms, and them not putting everything in their way not to actually achieve it. Disheartening is a word I would use, because when you see what they could potentially achieve, not that they don't go fully after it, but they put everything in their way to not get it.
And how would you describe your approach, your style, Paul? Is it a comforter and a handholder of accountants, or you're a challenger and a disruptor?
I do challenge concepts. So like, for example, the article I referred to in relation to, you know, don't start with why, or people's interpretation of values. I challenge things that aren't right from that perspective. Mm. But when I'm working with firms, I use a blend of between coaching, mentoring and consulting. Mm. Because there's times where you will have to coach an individual by asking them questions and get past their limiting beliefs. But there's times that people just want to look at, show me what I need to do and how to do it and so on. So you become a kind of like a mentor stroke teacher in those respects. And then there's times you need to jump into the consultancy hat and say, okay, let's do this together. Mm. I know clients have referred to me as a bit of a game changer. It's more guidance more so than anything else.
And how do you feel the accountancy profession is served by people like Paul Davies, who are helping them to be better in their business?
I speak about values and internal priorities. One of my highest internal priorities is learning. So there's probably somewhere on average, and it fluctuates pretty much every year, but it's somewhere between 25 and 30% of the turnover that I receive in income, which my turnover is significant, but between 25 and 30% of my turnover is invested in learning. And I don't see that in other business coaches, consultants, advisors to other companies or other firms. Mm. So that's where I observe people coming out with the same message or the same information or the same tools and techniques and all that kinds of things. Fundamentally, yeah, 80% of it has remained the same, but it's the 20% that always makes a difference.
Yeah.
And that's not what has changed or evolved amongst other advisors.
Well, you've given some hard messages today. If people like your upfront style and that strong moral compass that you have, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you and talk more, Paul?
The easiest way literally is to have a look at my website, which is www.davis, spelled without the E, so davisbusinessconsultants.com. And that's where you'll see all my videos, resources, everything about me. And from there, you'll get all my contact details.
Great. And do you work with people all over the world, do you?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a map in my office with a pin in every single country that I'm working with right now at all. So I haven't reached every single country, but quite a number of them, I have to say. So it's good to see the progress.
And what would be the legacy of Paul Davies, do you feel?
In the third book I was part author of, I talk about making a difference. So for me, it's about everybody that you meet throughout the day, it's about trying to make a difference in their life, even just for the day. And that can be as simple as just giving a smile or saying something nice to them and just completely transforming their world. When it comes to business, it's about making a difference for the clients that they work with. Mm. And when it comes to the world, it's about leaving a legacy, making a difference. So having the world better as a result of you being here. And that's my own philosophy.
Yeah, sounds great. And just to finish then, Paul, just give a word of advice, encouragement to the accountants listening who do want to be better and make more of a difference. What should they be doing?
I think listen to your heart. So if you manage to get a few quiet moments away from the hustle and bustle of life and a business, just sit in quiet reflection, whether it be in a park, beside a beach, whatever it might be, wherever your quiet space is, and listen to your heart. You'll know inside your heart if you listen to it enough as regards what you should be doing and the direction you should be taking.
Well, Paul Davies, that's been terrific. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.